Hey, you're listening to the Debt-Free CEO podcast, where you'll learn ways to manage your finances in your personal or business life to set you on the path to debt-free and on to financial freedom. I'm Megan, your debt-free finance coach, former high school math teacher, now a debt-free entrepreneur. In 2021, I paid off $53,000 worth of debt in 12 months so that I could walk away from the classroom. Whether you're on the path to debt-free or looking for ways to manage your finances better, you're in the right place. Walking the path to financial freedom doesn't have to be lonely. We're in this together. Hey friends, and welcome back to the Debt-Free CEO podcast. Today I have Melissa with Not Another VA. She specializes in email marketing, and honestly, I am going to let her tell you everything that she does because she is a guru in the online space and is absolutely amazing. But today I really am excited to chat with her about the power of budgeting and being a business owner, and as well using her business to help her further her financial goals. So thank you for coming today, Melissa.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell my audience a little bit about yourself, about your business and what you do and who you serve.
So my name is Melissa Seidman from None Other VA. I'm a former history teacher. I taught in the classroom for 15 years. And I run a virtual assistants business where I have a bunch of people under me now. And it's I've grown a successful team for specializing in email marketing.
That's awesome. And then is that all you do, email marketing, or do you do other things as well?
Email marketing and then a little bit of blogging, but mainly email.
Okay, cool. You were in the classroom for 15 years. How long have you been in business?
Yeah, so I started a business to literally pay for my daycare bill, which is crazy. So in New York, my daycare bill, I'm going to blow your mind for a second, was $1,500 per child for just my daycare. So once we had two, or we're thinking about having the second one, I was like, I can't literally afford this. Like, I don't know how I can afford this on my teaching salary. Mm-hmm. I started doing work on the side, helping people out. And then it kind of boomed. And I started my business 4 years ago now. And I was doing it for 2 years while I was teaching full time. I would come home after school. I would keep my kids in daycare for an hour. I would do work for an hour. I would come home, do the mom thing, dinner, bedtime, all that. And then I would go back to work from 7 to 10 p.m. often, sometimes even 11 p.m. doing my VA business on the side. And then all of a sudden that started to take off. My husband got a new job across the country. So I ended up leaving the classroom and doing this full time, and absolutely love what I do now.
Okay, because y'all aren't in New York anymore now. Y'all are in Ohio or?
Ohio, yeah. Okay,
yeah. That's awesome. And so you did that while you were in the classroom for 2 years, and then you've been out of the classroom for two more years.
Yeah.
You left in 2022? Okay. Yeah. So you left right after me. That's awesome. Well, I love that. And so tell us a little bit about what type of business owners you like to work with and who it is that you serve.
Yeah, I mainly serve small business owners. I'm mainly in the education space, but I am trying to, I have a lot of clients that are no longer in the education space. So mainly small business owners, female run businesses. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I think a lot of people are transitioning out of education, unfortunately. So, well, that's exciting. So tell us a little bit, you touched a little bit on you started your VA business to help you pay for your daycare bill, which is absolutely insane. I cannot believe $1,500 is. And that was a month, right?
A month. Yeah. So I think we ended up realizing it was $36,000 a year for both kids was the total. So I'm not a math person, but it was $36,000 was the total bill at the end of the year with the tax deduction at the end of the year for taxes.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's insane. And I guess another question I have is, whenever you left the classroom, did you keep your kids in daycare or did you pull them out?
So that was a hard decision. Oh my gosh. So my son was 4 when I left the classroom and we kept him in daycare. So I kept him in a standard 9 to 3:30 daycare. And even now my kids are still in aftercare after school because sometimes meetings come up. So I still keep them in aftercare. I most of the time pick them up around 4 o'clock, but I realized they were riding the bus for 45 minutes. So I'd rather them play on the playground and have fun. And then I'll pick them up at 4 compared to 3:54 when they got home. So.
And then the New York daycare was $1,500. When y'all moved to Ohio, did it go down or was it about the same?
Standard of living is so much cheaper in Ohio. Oh my God, with everything. So daycare in Ohio, we put them in a full-time Montessori program, which was awesome. It was probably one of the best programs in the area. And it was $800 a month for full-time care.
Oh my gosh, per kid.
per kid.
Yeah. So you ended up saving over 50%, which is amazing.
And it's funny because they thought, they were like, is that going to be okay? And then my mouth was like, yeah, no, $800 is awesome. Like, I will pay $800. And everyone complained about $800, but I was like, this is so cheap.
That's crazy. Well, that's such a cool, like, transitional season for you too, because you got to walk away from the classroom and you got to save money on daycare. So you really, and when you're a business owner, your business, when you move from state to state, it doesn't change like a teacher salary would. So it's pretty cool that both of those happen at the same time. So, well, we touched on it a little bit, but kind of to walk us through your financial journey and just like an overview of kind of what that's looked like for you.
Yeah. So I was an overspender. I never acquired debt, but my credit card bills were always at the max amount every month for getting up there in the amount that I would spend. I would pay it off every month on time. I didn't have that problem, but I did overspend. Like, I was overspending on out to eat. I was overspending on Amazon. I was overspending on just shopping. And I quickly realized that my husband, once we got married at 22, I quickly realized that it was a problem. And he was like, we sat down and we're like, we need to create a budget. So we sat down and created a budget. And it doesn't matter if you do an old school paper and pencil and notebook or use a digital app, whatever you use. But I found that to be the most successful thing. And now I'm 39 years old and we've been budgeting since 2022, 23. And we've been able to save hundreds of thousands of dollars, literally, because we budget. And that's because we make decisions worth our money.
So when you guys got married, was he the numbers person, the one that was like, okay, we're going to be strict about the budget, and then you were the spender? Is that what you were saying? Yeah.
That was our problem. And it wasn't a problem before we got married because we each had our own bank accounts and we had our own incomes, and I would spend my own income. And then we realized we're merging everything and we're like, where's our money going? And he was much more of a saver, and he still is to this point. I still have to convince him to buy stuff, even though our money is our money. But we make a plan when we want to spend something and we take it out of the budget and we plan ahead. So
why do we always, like, opposites really do attract? Because my husband is the same way. He's not the numbers person. He's not the budget. He's the spender. And it's like so frustrating at times, but really opposites do attract. And there's always the one person in the marriage that is the saver and the budgeter, and one that is like, no, we don't need to do that. Let's spend and enjoy it and whatnot. And so that always just makes me laugh. Oh, so I guess you guys have always budgeted because y'all started when y'all were like 22, 23, and y'all, I guess that's what, almost 15, 20 years that y'all have been together, which, congratulations, by the way, that is awesome. And so, you know, what did your life look like before budgeting?
I would get stressed.
Yeah.
I would get stressed when my credit card bill came in. Like, I was so super nervous. Like, can I afford this? My teaching salary in New York, my first year teaching was like $36,000 or $37,000. I remember that because my daycare bill was close to that amount the first year. My first year teaching was like $36,000. And I remembered my paychecks coming home and like instantly it would go towards my credit card bill. And I don't know, I didn't really have a lot of discretionary spending of where I wanted to spend my money. And I think that made me frustrated and made me upset. I would lose sleep over it. Like, we never went into debt, and I was not one of those people who had debt. I didn't have college loans. I didn't have car loans. I didn't have things. So I got really lucky with that. But I was an overspender.
But had you not recognized that, where would you and your husband be right now if y'all had continued down that path? That's the scary part of like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to know what and where y'all could have been.
No, I couldn't even imagine. My husband found a budgeting app. So we use YNAB. You need a budget, and it's just an app. And it doesn't matter if you use paper or pencil or an app, it all does the same thing. But we basically budget and we put our income, and it's really more important now as a freelancer. But what we do is the income we made the month before is the month used for the following month. So you just got to be a month ahead. So the money I made, let's say in June, goes to my July income to spend. So I'm living off of the money I actually made, not a hypothetical, my paycheck is coming and I need bills type thing. So as a freelancer, it's actually really important because your money is always fluctuating, and some months I have really good months and some months are not as well off. So that's why it's cool, because I'm living off of last month's income. So I'm using money that I actually have in my bank account to spend for this month and budget for this month.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because that is such a common, you know, problem with freelancers, and a struggle is just, how do I pay myself and how do I prepare and plan for that? And I love that you said that, because that's what I recently started doing this year, was using the month
prior. So instead of paying yourself at the beginning of the month, I just do it like the last couple of days. And that is what gets me through to, you know, what are we in March now? So I just did that for February, and that will be what we plan for March. And that's a really good helpful tip, because it's kind of hard to, you know, when you have inconsistent income, on how to plan and prepare for that. But I will say the part that some people will struggle with is, you know, getting that month ahead and having that extra cash, because you almost have to, you know, save or be strategic about, you know, your spending or what you're doing, because not everybody has the ability to almost wait that 30 days before they pay themselves. I hope I'm making sense when I say that.
Yeah, how we started was we actually took our tax refund. We knew one year we were getting a huge tax refund, and rather than investing it or putting it into a retirement account or putting it ahead, we said that will be our income for next month. And that's how we managed to get ahead.
And it's potential money
because that's how we got ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you too, does your husband get paid once a month, or does he get paid every 2 weeks?
Once a month at the very end of the month. So we can't really rely on the money coming in. It's at like the 25th of the month. So it works because that's the money for next month. So it works.
Is he a teacher?
College coach. So he's
okay.
He coaches lacrosse. So he's in education too. So we both were teachers. We had teacher salaries. So
yeah, you both got one check. So two checks a month, which is, that's tough. And were they both at the end of the month?
Yeah. Well, I was twice a month, but
you were. Okay.
Yeah. But still, you got a budget and plan for a teacher salary with two teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's tough. So
my husband, he gets paid every 2 weeks, and then I pay myself once a month. But when I was a teacher, it was once a month. And so when you get paid every 2 weeks, you always get those two extra checks a year. And so I've always, when those come in, I'm like, okay, that's your way. If people get paid that way, I'm like, that's how you can use, you know, your money to get ahead to on mortgage payments or whatever, so that you're not in the situation of spending March's money while you're in March, or March's income in March's money, where you can go, you know, and backtrack a little bit. So I love that you brought that up, because I just recently started doing that. And so it's not something that I've like been doing for a long time. So I'm glad you said that. Well, tell us how you've used your business to assist you with your financial decision making in your business and outside of your business.
So I've been using the budgeting app for 15 years now. It's crazy. So 15 years, just my personal side. And then it dawned on me last year when I hired a coach just to coach me for financial planning. And she goes, why aren't you budgeting for your business? And I was like, I never even thought of doing that. And it's so important. So what I did is I made a list of all my expenses for my business, or you could do the same thing for personal. You make all the expenses. And I figured out, I called every single company and emailed every company, went on the websites and figured out which ones can I pay in full and get a discount. So some of them you can actually pay in full. So I figured out my payroll processor was a full discount. My QuickBooks account was a full discount. If I paid in full. My Google email was a discount if I paid in full. So rather than paying a month at a time, I am saving money in the long run. So what I ended up doing was I set up a budget, and I figured out how much each thing was. And then I started saving money in that account for those items. So I know my like social media scheduler was $490, something like that. So I started divided by 12, and then I put that much money in a whole year ready to go. And then when I had the full amount of money, I did the year payment at once. So now I know all at once that year payment is due. And then every month I save a small portion of that 490 towards the bill. And so I have money sitting in different accounts, and the same thing goes for personal. Like my son does hockey. So hockey, if you're familiar with, is a very expensive sport. And his bill easily was $2,000 this year for just hockey sports. So what we ended up doing was we figured out what is 12 divided by 2,000. And I have two kids now going into hockey next year. So what is 12 into 4? And I'm now contributing monthly to that bill. What is their camp bill for the summer? Instead of being stressed out in May, June, and July when I'm trying to pay camp, I now budget it for 12 months. What's 12 months worth of camp? And now it's a smaller bill. Christmas, the same thing. What is Christmas bill or Hanukkah bill? We budget for the whole month. So I know I contribute $67, whatever it is, every month to the bill. And then I have money for Christmas when it comes. And I'm not stressed at Christmas time. I'm not stressed in January. When January comes, there's no stress over a bill coming due, because I know a lot of people are stressed out of January when the bills come.
Yeah, I love everything that you just said. And, you know, we're still kind of at the beginning of the year, even though I can't believe quarter one is about to be over. But for anybody that's listening and wants to do what Melissa just said, you can go back and look at everything you spent in 2023 and add up how much you spent for Christmas, how much you spent for your kids, daycare, hockey, sports, whatever it is, summer camps, etc., and add it all up, divide by 12, and that's what you need to be setting aside every single month to be able to pay for those whenever they come up, you know, 12 months later. And that's such a good, helpful tip. And the same goes for your business. And I did the same exact thing this past, at the end of the year. I said, okay, what can I pay in full right now to get my discount? And then when it comes due next year, I will already have the money set aside because I'm planning, you know, I added up all my yearly subscriptions and divided it by 12. And I'm like, okay, I'm setting, it's like $150 maybe a month. I don't know. I'm setting that aside every single month. So now it's just done. It's already paid for. And it's not like, oh crap, I wasn't prepared for my Canva subscription. Oh man, I wasn't prepared for my Captivate subscription. Mm-hmm. It's just a better way to be prepared. And so I have a question for you. Do you think business owners, you know, because you, when did you start budgeting in your business again? Remind me.
Literally last year.
Okay.
So probably.
So 3 years in. So 3 years yeah. into business, would you have said, or would you have advised, you know, the year ones, the new beginner business people to start budgeting?
Start right away.
Right away.
Right away. I wish I did. I don't know what I spent my money on the first 3 years. Literally, I wish I was more responsible. And it's funny because I did it for personal. That's the weirdest thing. And mm-hmm. it didn't just translate to doing it for business. So now what I do is every Friday, I sit down, I reconcile all of my accounts every Friday. So it's not a stressful activity at the end of the month. I just do it every Friday for the whole week. So I know my week's worth of spending, my week's worth of income. I reconcile QuickBooks. I reconcile my bank accounts. I do all of that. And I check my budget. Is my budget in line this week with what I budgeted for? What are my expenses? And that helps. It's very helpful to do it once a week as a task.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not at the once a week mark, but I am doing it once a month now. And it is so helpful. And I don't know why when you're first starting out, why we put it on the back burner and why we don't do it. I don't know if it's because if you're already budgeting so much in your, you know, your personal finances that when you come to your business, you're like, okay, I'm just going to try to survive and like make an income and figure it out. But it is, there's a disconnect or there's a struggle there. And I wish I would have started sooner too, just because, I mean, you're right. What did we spend our money on? Like I could tell you, cause I sent it all to my tax person.
It's just so funny. Like my tax accountant person, for example, had to file 1099s today. Okay. Uh-huh. So he filed the 1099, sent me the invoice today. And he gave me the invoice. He's like, here's the invoice. And I looked at it. I was like, oh, this is great. I made money today. And he looked at me and he was laughing. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I budgeted $350 for this task and I only spent $200. So I made money, like extra money that yeah. I budgeted for that I don't need. So like, it's silly that budgeting really does save you a lot of money in the long run. It is work up front, but it will save you money, time, stress, and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that you said that. That's so funny. You're like, well, I've only planned and prepared for $350 and it's actually less. So thanks. I get a bonus. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's switch gears here a little bit and let's talk about what type of investments that you have made and contributed to over the years since you've been budgeting for 15 plus years.
Yeah. So we maxed out our IRAs. That was one of the first thing we actually started doing when we were young. We started at 24. I think we started maxing our IRAs, the maximum we can contribute for the year. We figured out what is the maximum you contribute for the year for each person, divided it by 12. And then we did a monthly payment each month to contribute to the maximum amount. That's the first thing you should definitely start with. Mm-hmm. And that we did have. And then once we had kids, we decided to open 529s in their names. And I'm like super proud to say my 7-year-old has $90,000 saved in his 529. And my 5-year-old has $76,000 right now as of today. And every month when we have discretionary spending, we, instead of going out to eat or going on like these crazy travel trips that we go all the time, we want to go, we decide to spend our money in certain places. So we choose to contribute to their 529 every month. And because of that, we want our kids to have no top college debt and no grad school debt. And I don't know if it's possible, but right now they have a huge amount of money saved and they're only 7 and 5 mm-hmm. because we've made choices with our money. So that's two things we do. We also contribute actively to our Fidelity account. So we have investments there. And then as a business owner now, I was making too much for an IRA. So I had to open a SEP account. So I opened a SEP account last year. And the SEP account, my account has told me based on my income, I can contribute a certain amount to my SEP account and then get tax incentives off of my taxes. So I'm maxing that out too. And instead of saying I'm going to spend $20,000 on this SEP retirement account every year, I'm divided it by 12 and it's a less of a payment towards my SEP account. So my SEP account is also now maxed out.
That's awesome. Well, I want to just touch on number one, maxing out your IRA is amazing. And then the what you've been able to invest for your children is wonderful. And I think that's, you know, ultimately the goal for everybody that has kids is wanting to set them up for success, give them the things that we never had, et cetera, et cetera. And so I just want to commend you for doing that because that is so wonderful. And so the 529, do you, I know they're used for education, but are they allowed to use it outside of education too? I think there's some type of stipulations that I don't want to know.
No, so you can only use it in education. So whether it's college or grad school, they could buy a laptop for school, textbooks for school. Oh, there's a lot of like purposes you can use it for. If for some reason they don't go to college, which I hopefully don't foresee, but that's possible. Yeah. We can always take we'll take a penalty in cash.
That's what it is.
So you can still get the money. Yeah. But the reality is we're setting our kids up to hopefully go to college and that's what they're going to do.
That's awesome. And then, okay, so your business, have you switched or transitioned to an S Corp yet, or are you still an LLC?
I've been an S Corp for 2 years now. Yeah. So, there's a lot of like rules and regulations with that. It's crazy to figure out that you have to pay yourself through a payroll service all of that crazy. I'm still learning, but I hire a good accountant and they will really help you, or financial planner, and it will really help you.
Good. Yeah, because there's a lot of benefits. You know, not everybody, when they're first getting started, do they need to switch to an S Corp. But when you hit a certain threshold, there is, you know, a lot of tax benefits, a lot of income benefits for you as the owner. And so I'm glad that you were able to do that. That's awesome. Well, what about you and your family? Do y'all have any big financial goals coming up or anything that you guys are working towards?
We recently came into a lot of money for something. It's kind of crazy. It's like a really long story. I can't even tell you. But we were gifted shares in a company and we don't need to worry about retirement. It's crazy. So we were gifted a lot of money and we had an opportunity to cash out 10% of that amount of money. So we were like, do we take it? Do we cash it out? Do we not? So we cashed it out. And the guy who gifted it to us took us out to dinner and asked us, what are you going to spend the money on? Are you going to go on a trip? This is a guy who owns a private jet, has a driver. Like, he's literally like, what are you going to spend the money on? And Eric and I looked at each other and we just smiled and we're like, we paid part of our mortgage off.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the most practical use of the money, but like we went from a mortgage that was super high and now it's much lower. And the idea is we're going to save a lot of money and interest over long term. So it's not like the most cool way to use money, but for us long term, it's going to save us a lot of money in the long run.
Yeah. Well, did it lower your monthly mortgage payment or no?
No.
No, it's just going to shorten the
fixed payment. I think it reduced it by 10 years is the amount we put on it, which
is
crazy.
And y'all just moved into that house like a year or two ago, right?
Yeah. And we got lucky. Like New York's prices are crazy. So buying from New York to here, we made money, a lot of money, but we took the money and then put it back into stocks and we put it into our house. So we redid a basement and like, so we got lucky, but we reduced our mortgage by 10 years. So that's a huge amount of money. In terms of like long-term growth, we're really putting money into our 529s. We are contributing every month to our Fidelity accounts, or our Fidelity account. And, we just budget. So like we plan on going to Ireland this summer and we've been putting money in that account to go to Ireland. So we don't have a huge amount of debt when we get back from our trip.
Is that the boys, are they going to go to, or is it husband and wife? Oh,
15 year anniversary. We're not taking the kids.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fun. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. My husband and I are celebrating our anniversary this weekend and we are taking our first like overnight trip without the baby. So I'm like, it's 5 years.
That's awesome.
It is. We're 5 years married. Like she's almost 18 months. I'm like, it's time, honey. We can do this. Like it's two nights. We'll be fine. She'll be fine. Everybody will be fine. Well, that's so fun. And then what about business? Do you have any big, you know, business goals, financial goals there?
I wish I had. I hired a social media person.
Okay.
That has been helpful. So that is an investment, I guess, in my business. Yeah. So I'm now not stressed out about social media, figuring out what to plan. Instagram reels, all that's taken care of. So that's an investment in my business. I don't know. What else do you invest in your business? I wonder. I don't even know.
I know. Yeah. Well, just like, you know, you don't have to give us any numbers, but do you want to see your income rise? And, you know, by what percentage do you think you want to see your income rise?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. No, I'm comfortable where I'm at. I would like to stay where I'm at. So I think that'd be a good goal, just to stay where I'm at or do better. I made some membership options for my business. So that's increased my income significantly. And that's been pretty good options for having a membership and a course this year. And that's been good goals. Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. I feel like as a business owner, you kind of learn as you go. Like, yeah. I wish there was a play-by-play book of how to do it, but I'm learning. Yeah.
There is no rule book. Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. So many good little nuggets there. What's your biggest piece of advice for anybody that's listening to this episode today?
I think set your goals and priorities and start budgeting. The sooner you budget, the better. And I know that sounds crazy. And I dragged my feet for years. My husband was trying to get me to do it all through dating. I met my husband in early college. And once you start budgeting, the stress goes away. Your marriage will get better. Your relationship will get better. We sit down once a month and literally have a budgeting meeting. What are we going to spend next month? Where are we going to go? How much are we going to spend out to eat? Or how much are we going to spend on miscellaneous spending? And like, it will save your marriage. It will save your relationships. I feel like we're stronger together because of budgeting. I know that sounds so cliche, but so true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people, they get into the avoidance phase and they're like, well, if I don't look at it, then it will just go away or it will handle itself. And that is furthest from the truth. And so, especially when you are in a marriage, sitting down with your spouse and having those hard conversations can be really a big game changer. So that's awesome. Well, thank you so much. Where can we connect with you on social media?
Yeah, you can find me at Not Another VA. If you just Google Not Another VA, my website comes up, my Facebook comes up, and my Instagram comes up.
Awesome. Okay. And we'll have her information in the show notes as well. But thank you so much, Melissa, for joining us. We will see you guys next time.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Debt-Free CEO podcast. Make sure you leave us a review and check us out on meganmendez.com. Connect with me on Instagram and Facebook at Megan Mendez underscore underscore. In the meantime, happy budgeting. See you next time.